This is a segment from the Annex Sociology Podcast. For more information, visit us on the web at theannexpodcast.com.
All right. Well, should we kick it off? Shall I kick it off?
Please do.
Okay, I want to start with an article that I read that just blew my mind. I'm sure all of you guys have seen The Black Mirror. Mm-hmm. Do you remember season 3, episode 1? They had this episode, it was called Nosedive, and it was about this society where everybody was giving each other like a Yelp rating, where, you know, we would interact with people and give each other stars, and then your social rating helped determine like your place in society, your privileges. Did you see that episode?
Well, I didn't see that episode. I'm still on season 1. I know, yeah. I'm slow, people. But it reminds me of that Gary Steingart book, Super Sad Love Story, where everybody is rated based on their credit score, like including how attractive you are. It has absolutely nothing to do with what you look like. It's all about your credit score.
These types of insane arrangements, I guess, were the stuff of fiction, but apparently not anymore. I read this article. I got it from Joe Naroditsky. Thank you for passing it on. The Chinese are developing some kind of system like this in real life. The article comes from Business Insider, and they're calling it a social credit system. And in it, people can lose points for things like driving violations, playing too many video games, posting fake news, wasting money on frivolous purchases. So there's a bunch of things you can do. And the stakes of this social credit score are pretty insane. Like, it will determine people's access to travel visas, their ability to take domestic flights. Your children can be banned from better schools. You get more matches on online dating. And you can get put on a blacklist that the government recommends employers consult before hiring. And like, dudes, I've seen the future and like, this is it. Discuss. What do you think?
Okay. So first of all, past guest, hopefully still current listener, Kieran Healy, has, this is basically his current project, is looking at, credit scores as kind of a universal way to assess people. He's mostly looking at in the context of the United States. And I believe he's doing that with Marianne Foucault. And then on top of that, right, I mean, I think one of the things is that in principle, this wouldn't necessarily, we can imagine versions of this that we might be comfortable with, but I think something that's especially disturbing about it is that A, it's operated by a state, and B, it's operated by an authoritarian state, right? We all kind of implicitly assume that a lot of what's going to go on this is that, if you type Tiananmen Square into, a microblog, that you won't be able to get a mortgage or an exit visa or something like that, that it's basically going to be, if this was voluntary and it was purely limited to, do you spit on old ladies at the supermarket? We wouldn't necessarily have as much of a problem with it. But, you hear something like fake news. And, in the context of a country like China, fake news might be real news.
My question was, going back to that sort of my linking Super Sad Love Story to Black Mirror, my question would be, would you rather a system, a rating system that was just totally based on your credit score, or one that was like the one in China?
Would we prefer the American FICO to this Chinese social credit? Absolutely the FICO.
No. So what I'm saying is your credit score would be linked to whether or not people, it kind of is linked to whether or not people will respond to you on dating websites, whether or not you get a promotion at work, whether or not you get a travel visa. Would you prefer one that was just straight up, it's your credit score?
Yeah. What I think is funny about this is, you'll occasionally hear sociologists and they're like, pontificating, did I blow your mind mode, talking about how the way we rate people is with their credit score, which is really just their ability to pay, and it more or less boils down to their income you know, the amount of dependence that other people have on them and all that sort of thing. And we treat that as a sense of moral worth. What if we had a broader sense of people's moral worth? And it's like one of those, like, you know, you make the wish into the monkey's paw, the finger curls up into the fist, and you see that it effectively means, like, you know, if you talk about Falun Gong on Weibo, you're not allowed to buy a plane ticket.
Yeah, basically. I mean, this is far, far more intrusive than the FICO score. I mean, at least in the FICO score, the only people with whom you've chosen to do business with can rate you on a very specific thing, right? Yeah. Did you pay them back or not? This, it's like Gabriel said, imagine, like, you're being, they have one where they feel you waste too much time playing video games is something that can ding your score. Like, the government is dictating you know, how they feel optimally you should be spending your time.
So I mean, we also have personal stakes in this, because, you know, as somebody who pays his bills on time but does like to play video games and shitpost, you know, I have a personal stake in having it be just your FICO score, not your social credit, and, you know, have it measure that I am a I'm not a deadbeat, but I am a creep.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So it sounds like a big part of it, seems to be the difference between whether or not the state is doing this and whether or not it's private industry, right? And I think we're also assuming that private industry gets this right? So private industry can make some huge mistakes or can get your information hacked, right? Right. And based on that information, your entire life could be wound up on with just that one score.
I mean, it's totally possible, although I don't think it could be the private sector. It could be the government, as long as there's some organization that is prescribing behaviors and is going to be able to, you know, cut you off from amenities or privileges or rights. You know, they'll be able to socially engineer us. And what's really interesting is this story talks about how people are starting to like it. They interviewed a guy and he goes, yeah, I used to drive more dangerously, but I didn't want to lose points. So now I'm slowing down at the crosswalk. You know, and it could get to the point where you're like, yeah, I used to be critical of, like, racism, but now I've learned that not to say anything about racism and to say everything's good. So please let me fly home to see my family at Christmas or something like that.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I mean, who knows? We're not in China, right? So we're not subject to that regime. We're not subject to that kind of scoring. I can tell you that I do find that the whole sort of credit score regime to be somewhat oppressive, right? And, you know, partly because I actually think it is a black box. I'm not really sure what goes into the scores, right? And number two, and I think I mentioned this on a previous episode, that, you know, that, like, being a person of color actually seems to somehow negatively impact your credit score, right? And it's unclear to me whether or not race and or ethnicity in and of themselves go into your credit rating, right? And sort of skews it in some way, or whether or not there are other measures that seem to correlate very highly with race and ethnicity, right? That tend to seemingly depress credit scores.
Well, so. My understanding is that your credit score is mostly dependent on whether or not you have a history of borrowing money. And how much of your available credit are you using relative to the amount that people want to extend to you, and what your payment history is. And I could see how the average poor person would have a low credit rating, not because they're poor per se, but because nobody has lent them money yet, like a credit card company hasn't rushed to offer them a card. And so they don't have a credit history. They don't have a lot of credit cards.
I think there are fewer people in America who haven't been offered a credit card than there are uncontacted Aboriginals in the Amazonian jungle. I mean, the users will find a way to track you down and offer you a credit card.
Can I tell you a quick story on this? I remember right before I left for America to go to Princeton, I had a job. I think I was earning like $30,000 a year. And I had a credit card that had a $2,000 credit limit. And I wanted a little bit more so I could buy a plane ticket to Europe or whatever. So I go to the bank and I say, you know, I'd like a credit limit. And they come back to me and they say, no, Mr. Cohen, we feel like $2,000 is a completely appropriate credit limit for somebody who earns whatever it is you're earning. And then I get in the car, drive to Princeton, and I get a credit card with a $15,000 credit limit. I had like no money, no history, just a ghost that came out of nowhere, and somebody decided to lend me 15 grand out of the gates,
which was your stipend at the time.
Yeah,
right? That's 100% of your income.
Yeah, basically. I was like, wow, they just give this out here.
Well, those were the easy credit days, right? That was before the credit.
Yeah, and let's not be too optimistic about the probity of Canadian finance, right? In some ways, their banking system works better, but you know they still have a housing bubble. Well, we're getting one again, but they theirs hasn't popped, and if anything, Canada's housing bubble is worse than ours.
Oh, it's bad, bad, bad. I can't tell you how many people I know who are millionaires.
Yeah.
It's gonna come crashing down.
They better sell soon.
Anyhow. So I guess should we move on?
Well, I just wanted one more point. So Leslie was talking about, like, you know, is there a difference between it being the government and a private company? And I was kind of saying that a little bit, but you know, I do want to push back on that, and that if it's a, in some sense, it still matters. But I still think if it's a monopoly and there's no way to exit out of it, or if it's an oligopoly, but they basically all behave the same way, which is what we have in this country, where there's three companies that all provide essentially identical scores, then it, for all practical purposes, it might be the state, especially as often happens, the state works in tight combination with kind of a state regulated monopoly, you know, as was the case in the mid 20th century with AT&T. So, you know, you can exaggerate the extent to which it matters that it's a state versus a private monopoly. And, you know, as we record this, probably about a week in the past, by the time you hear this, right, you know, Zuckerberg has been raked over the coals in Congress. And, you know, he's not the secretary of Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, he's the president and largest stockholder of a private firm, Facebook. But because Facebook is, you know, effectively, you know, they have some competition. If you think of it as a messaging service, they compete with Skype and Google Hangouts. And if you think of it as a microblogging service, they compete with Twitter. But, you know, in their specific market segment, they're basically a monopoly and they're locked in based on network externalities and things like that. And so in that sense, you can see why, you know, aside from just grandstanding and trying to, you know, create a sort of theodicy of the election, the Congress is raking him over the coals over this, because he is a monopoly, even though he's a private firm.
Yeah, but I mean, you can always opt out of Facebook. I mean, the punishment that Facebook can levy against you versus the government, like, they can't keep you from getting on an airplane yet. You know, they can't keep your kids out of a prestigious school yet. Like, these are real stakes. You know, I don't see any. As the biggest company in virtually any country is nowhere near the size or power of the government. You know, the government dwarfs any individual organization probably in any advanced society. So I think there's a big difference.
Well, and Facebook doesn't have cops who they can send to your door.
For more, visit us on the web, theannexpodcast.com.